The fifth Sunday in Lent, in the year of our Lord, 2024. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the reading was from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For perhaps the first time in history, this year Ash Wednesday occurred on February 14th, the commemoration of Saint Valentine. And the fifth Sunday in Lent, historically, the beginning of the 2 weeks of Passiontide, occurs on March 17th, the commemoration of St. Patrick of Ireland. In other words, this year, two of the more important observances of the church calendar, Ash Wednesday and the fifth Sunday in Lent, occur on two of the most secularized Christian festivals: Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. And so, as we did on Ash Wednesday, the religious commemoration for St. Patrick is one which should not be overlooked, despite the secularization of St. Patrick's Day. As expected, very little is known about St. Patrick. He lived during the late 300s and early 400s AD. Originally residing near the coast of Britain, as a teenager he was enslaved by Irish raiders, sent to Ireland, and forced to work herding pigs. During these years of captivity, he pondered his faith. And after 6 years as a slave, he escaped to France, where he became a monk, then later a pastor, and then finally a bishop. Upon becoming a bishop around 433 AD, he returned to Ireland as a missionary, especially desiring to free his captors, and ultimately all of Ireland, from their slavery to idolatry. Patrick lived the rest of his days as a missionary in Ireland, preaching the gospel and confessing the doctrine of the Holy Trinity as the three in one and one in three throughout the island. March 17th is generally regarded as the day of Patrick's death, though nothing is known about how he died. Of course, there are a number of legends about St. Patrick as well. Two notable ones are that he explained the doctrine of the Trinity using a shamrock, a three-leaf clover, and that he cast out and banished all snakes from the island of Ireland. More than likely, neither of these legends are true, since they come from writings not attributed to St. Patrick, and from writings written 300 to 500 years after he lived. Nonetheless, these two legends explain why St. Patrick is often depicted holding a shamrock and chasing away snakes in paintings. Altogether, despite the little that is known about St. Patrick, it is evident that he was a faithful disciple of Christ Jesus, and he devoted his life to serving others and proclaiming the good news of the Son of God's sacrifice for sins. And thus, the life of St. Patrick is a helpful illustration for today's gospel. And St. Patrick himself is a foil to the disciples, particularly James and John, in today's gospel story. So what do I mean that St. Patrick is a foil to the disciples? This means that St. Patrick's life of humble service in Christ's kingdom stands in contrast to the life envisioned by the disciples in today's gospel. In the story, James and John, two of the members of the inner circle of disciples, make a request of Jesus. They say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." By leading with this statement, James and John are really asking Jesus to make a decision before he's even heard their request. So after Jesus presses them to give a little more detail, James and John ask the following: "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." In other words, by asking for seats at Jesus' right hand and left hand, traditionally the first and second positions of power, James and John envision a life of honor and glory in Jesus' kingdom. And since James and John are part of the inner circle of disciples, their request really represents the life envisioned by all the disciples. The 12 desire to have the highest positions of power and honor in Jesus' kingdom. Now, such a request may, on the surface, indicate arrogance in the disciples. But it should be remembered, Jesus has encouraged requests like this. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ask, and it will be given to you. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So rather than arrogance, this request indicates the continued ignorance of the disciples. They ask for positions of honor because they still envision that Jesus has come to establish an earthly kingdom. And they have yet to grasp that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, but is a heavenly kingdom, characterized by humility and service to others. Since St. Patrick lived centuries after Jesus, he understood what it meant to have a place of honor in Jesus' kingdom. And thus his contrast from the disciples highlights their ignorance at this point in the gospel. In light of the request of James and John, and in order to help them realize their ignorance, Jesus responds, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" By these statements, particularly through the metaphors of the cup and baptism, Jesus lays out that his glory is not earthly power and honor, but involves drinking the cup of God's wrath, involves undergoing a baptism of blood, involves suffering, involves dying. But the disciples, still don't understand the meaning behind what Jesus has said. And so they remain ignorant. And of course, in their ignorance, they respond that they are able to drink Jesus' cup and be baptized with his baptism, still thinking that all of this involves impending earthly glory. So Jesus, probably ready to move on from this request of the sons of Zebedee, both builds up their hope and then dashes it. The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Jesus builds up the hope of the disciples at first, predicting that they too will drink a cup like his and experience a baptism like his, as they claimed they would be able to do. Little do the disciples know that this means they will experience a life of suffering and persecution, and they will die for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then Jesus dashes any hopes of the disciples, telling them he cannot grant them positions of power and honor. Rather, God the Father has prepared places of honor for those who lead a life of humble service to others. The disciples would eventually get there, but today our illustration of such a life is that of St. Patrick, who not only grew in faith while a slave, but also returned to the island of his captivity in order to evangelize and serve others. Indeed, God the Father prepared honor for St. Patrick, since we commemorate him still today as the missionary to Ireland. Yet the life of St. Patrick is not the preeminent example of what Jesus calls for in today's gospel. Nor are the lives of the disciples, when they overcome their ignorance and begin lives of service guided by the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. Rather, Jesus closes today's gospel with these important words: "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus himself lives the perfect life of service, which he calls for in today's gospel. Jesus serves others most notably by giving his life as a ransom for many. This means that Jesus offers his life as an atoning sacrifice for the whole world, so that all people may be bought back from their slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus serves others also by fully drinking the cup of God's wrath so that we don't have to. Because Jesus fully drank that cup, he was forsaken by his Father on the cross. Yet also because Jesus fully drank that cup, now we drink from a new cup, a chalice containing his own blood, which gives us forgiveness of our sins, strength for a life of service to others, and life everlasting in the glory of the presence of the Lord. Jesus serves others finally by undergoing baptism. Baptism in the Jordan River and baptism of blood on the cross, both in order to take our sins and death away from us. And because Jesus underwent those baptisms and linked them together, now in our baptism, into the name of Jesus, we are given faith that trusts the grace of God through the atoning sacrifice of his Son, and we are given strength for daily living in service to God and others. Although Jesus says it is not up to him to determine who sits at his right hand and his left hand, he later says in Revelation, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Thus, when we faithfully trust that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for us, when we seek to follow Jesus, and when we serve others, we may be sure that God has prepared a place of victory and honor for us in the glory of heaven. And today, may we also give thanks for people who have passed down this faith to us and whose lives are examples for us of what it means to serve others. People like St. Patrick. Indeed, St. Patrick's example of discipleship for us is summed up well in the 5th century hymn attributed to him. I bind this day to me forever, by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his cross of death for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom, I bind unto myself today. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this weekend and this week ahead.